It was a little after 4 in the morning on January 7th, 2020. I was fast asleep at my aunt's house in Puerto Rico, a bedroom right by the main door of the house, little detail that will prove to be very important, when all of a sudden I hear this rumbling like a train. And as I kind of come out of a deep sleep, I realize the entire room and bed is shaking. It dawned on me rather quickly, this is an earthquake. I've never been in an earthquake before. This is not good. It was strong. I ran out the front door as quick as I could, realizing that my aunt and my mom were still inside, trying to turn on the lights to see to come out, but they wouldn't turn on because there was an earthquake. And in my dreams, I ran into the house, I grabbed my mother and my aunt, and I ushered them out as quickly as possible, making sure nothing would collapse on them. But in reality, I just stayed outside the front door yelling in the house to tell them to get out. So that was my heroic moment. Thankfully, nothing got damaged, nothing got destroyed in the home we were in, but it was a rude awakening. I don't know why, when I lived in Florida, hurricanes always had to come in the middle of the night. And now earthquakes in the middle of the night. Well, why can't it be like noon, you know, or 2 o'clock when it's sunny and everyone's out? But it was a very unsettling experience. And you could experience from my one experience of an earthquake, just how powerful and how unstable the earth is and how small you are in the span of its great power. It was unsettling. It was unstable. And the next day had our flight scheduled to leave. And the southern route along Puerto Rico, Highway 2, had a section with a bridge that was damaged and not safe to pass over. So we had to go around the northern side, which took a lot longer. There are a lot of traffic lights. Most of them were out. And so you're getting these intersections where, in theory, everyone's supposed to perform a four-way stop. But in reality, it was every man and woman for themselves shooting through the intersection. So it was a hair-raising attempt to get back slowly and carefully to San Juan, a 2.5-hour drive from Mayagüez. But the southern route was blocked off, the route we always take, the quicker, easier route, because the bridge and the roads were damaged. We weren't connected through that way. Earthquakes have a way of unsettling things in so many different ways. Puerto Rico, as you know, had just experienced a few years before Hurricane Maria. Now they have this 6.4 magnitude earthquake on January 7th, 2020, and yes, you recognize the year. A couple months later, COVID would hit. It was just one thing after another devastating experience for the island, preceded, of course, by the blunder of the managing of the finances and tax incentives for companies to come, which didn't pay any taxes, and now we're in a debt we can't get out of because of some archaic laws that won't allow the island to declare bankruptcy. So you've got a confluence of just financial and economic and natural disasters that are just extraordinary and continue to have its effects to this day. Leading up to the election of our American Pope, I don't think I'd ever say that in my lifetime, we felt like there was a lot of instability, right? A lot of divisions in the church. The ongoing horrific wars in Gaza and Ukraine, the instability of the world, China and the China Sea and the U.S. Navy, so much tension with Iran and North Korea, and our own families. We're still recovering. Our kids are still bearing the effects of being enclosed due to COVID and isolated from other people. You see that still in our children having effects on their mental health. TikTok and the others that have been proven to be disastrous for the mental health of girls, and yet we cannot seem to ban it. We cannot seem to outlaw it. And as parents, we have such a hard time limiting their access to it. It can feel like we're just living in a constant earthquake. Things are so unsettled and constantly moving, and you don't know what's going to happen next. It's a confluence of challenges, disasters, and difficulties. And one of the signs of the ongoing impact of these instabilities, be it man-made or naturally caused, is the disunity that it causes. Nothing is better at sowing disunity and division than the blessed algorithms of the internet and social media. You click on one thing, and it just shows you more and more of that, even more and more intense, and send you down a rabbit hole till you hear nothing but that in its most extreme form. And you only socialize with people like that in its most extreme form, and then we're all in our silos, and there is no dialogue, no bridge, no communication. Unity is profoundly impacted. It's one of the signs, disunity, of the long-term effects of these upending, upheavals of life. And here in the first reading today, we see the first discussion, disagreement, conflict of the early church. Namely, as more and more Jews were refusing to embrace the gospel and more pagans were accepting it, now you had people who never interacted with each other. The pagans were unclean for the Jews. The Jews were some strange, backwater, weird people for the pagans in the big cities of the Roman Empire. And now they're sitting side by side in mass as brothers and sisters in Christ. And the question arose, these uncircumcised pagans that ate meat sacrificed to idols and engaged in all kinds of things contrary to the commandments are sitting next to me, who for generations have kept the law of Moses. Shouldn't they be Jewish before they become Catholic? And no small debate arose among the community, as the words of Scripture tell us. And so you had some bishops saying, no, they have to be circumcised and follow the law of Moses, and only then can they be baptized and saved. Others were saying, that's ridiculous. The old law condemned us. It didn't work. It's through baptism and faith that we are saved. And they debated. But what they did was the bishops came together and they prayed. They prayed to the Holy Spirit. Lord, let your will be done, not mine, not theirs, yours. And let us accept it together to maintain unity, because your will trumps all of ours and nothing matters more. And so they did, and they prayed. It was, in effect, the first ecumenical council of the church. We've had 21 or 24 of them since the last being Vatican II. And so they prayed together and they came to the conclusion and said, it is the will of God, the Holy Spirit, and us, that those who are pagan only need to be baptized in order to become Christian. And I imagine the pagan men were extremely relieved. They simply told them, you cannot engage in the activities you engaged in before that are contrary to the commandments, nor dabble in the practices of your old pagan religions, or eat that type of meat, and all will be well. And so unity was maintained. They said, Peter has spoken. Now, remember, Peter was on the side of those saying they should be circumcised first. And when they prayed and the Holy Spirit revealed their will to them, his will to them, Peter amended and spoke on behalf of all the bishops. And they came to an agreement and unity was restored. They prayed to the Holy Spirit. They put God's will before their own and unity was restored and the church continued to grow in number. It's what's, I think, missing in our world today. We saw that beautifully happen with the election of Pope Leo XIV, right? We knew about bishops and their different silos and opinions, left, right, whatever you want to call it, pushing their agenda. Francis shockingly got very sick, for sure was going to die, then didn't, then did. And then those tensions just continued to build around Rome with the fear of the election of the next pope. Will he be extremist? Will he be this? Will he be that? And everyone's putting in their two cents. I mean, literally groups are flying into Rome to influence the cardinals before they prayed and came together in the conclave to elect the successor of Peter, the 267th successor. And what do? They offered a mass to the Holy Spirit and they prayed in union to discern, God, what is your will for the church? Who is to be the successor of Peter now? And it happened, as you remember and know, very, very quickly. They elected someone I think most of the world never expected, an American, sort of, a Peruvian also, who clearly from the first words of spoken from the Logia said, I'm here to build bridges. I'm here to bring people together. He knew what God the Holy Spirit wanted. He had revealed it to the cardinals. They elected him for that purpose. Clean up the Vatican finances. Francis tried. And bring unity to the church. Bring us together. Because unity is at the core of peace and stability. We lack it so much in our country and in our world. Different presidents, different policies, different changes of policies has upended the lives of so many people, especially here in our parish. And that unity is essential. It's a sign that we're putting God's will first, and we're not allowing the earthquakes and tornadoes and hurricanes and pandemics to veer us from our call and our goal, which is heaven. So how do we get there to that unity? First and foremost, I'm praying to God the Holy Spirit. Soon we'll be celebrating Pentecost, the feast of the birthday of the church. And the way that we align ourselves with God's will and following the will of the Holy Spirit is by keeping his commands. Jesus couldn't have made it more clear. Whoever loves me keeps my word. Now, the Ten Commandments were often referred to as the Ten Words of God. When you hear that, it's a euphemism, a reference to the Ten Commandments. Whoever loves me keeps my word. And there's a lot of division and confusion about this, because many will say, oh, I'm Catholic, but they don't go to Mass. I believe in Jesus, but I don't do what he says. Well, it's a contradiction. How can you say, I believe he is God and his word is true, and then not do what he says? There's no faith there. James tells us in his letter in the New Testament that faith without works is dead. That you will know your faith by the works. Not that your works earn salvation, but faith manifests itself above all in how the person keeps his commandments. To believe in Jesus, as the first letter of John chapter 2 tells us, is to live as he lived and to keep his commands. When we do that, we know that we're free from the slavery of sin and its vices, free from those things so that we can be free for loving as God loved and living in the love of God. That is the Holy Spirit, who is God, the love between the Father and the Son, and experiencing that peace in the midst of life and all that has happened, not just in Puerto Rico, but in our own lives. Do not your hearts be troubled. I'm going away, but I will come back to you. And if you love me, you would rejoice that I'm going to the Father, so that where I am, you one day may be, Jesus tells us. At the end of the day, earthquakes and pandemics and wars and political chaos will continue to mark life this side of heaven. The difference, or the question, is how will we get through it? The scriptures are clear today. By putting God's will above our own, by seeking the will of the Holy Spirit and the grace of the Holy Spirit in our lives, by keeping his commandments and confessing frequently when we have fallen short, so that close to him, we will know a peace that only he can give and not the world. Because ultimately, peace isn't the absence of war. It's a union with Christ, the Prince of Peace, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, he who is risen, our Savior, our God, our all. Whoever loves me will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our dwelling with him.